Hi guys, if this is your first time seeing my face or hearing my voice, don't panic. This is still Pen Plus Bytes and my own Knowledge Hub podcast. We're just leveling up. I'm Manuel and I'm super excited to have you tune in. This is season 2 and we get to have conversations once again on media and information literacy. But first things first, let's say thank you to the very people that make this happen. DW Academy and the German Corporation for their continuous support in building the media and information literacy competences of young people. You know, as young people, we've got the power to trend, to share ideas, connect with millions of people, and all of these can happen within a split of seconds. And that's technology right there. It handed us the tools and platforms. But here is the interesting twist. The same tools that enable us to connect and do the things we do is cloning our voices, creating deep fakes, creating fake videos, and our timelines are constantly filled with lies. So the real issue isn't whether AI is good or bad. It's who has got their hands on the controls and what they are doing with it and what they seek to achieve. Your voice, your creativity, and even what you think is real is all up for grabs. So on this episode, we are asking an important yet complex question. Is artificial intelligence rewriting reality? If you join this conversation by sending in your comments on any of Pen Plus Bytes social media handles at Pen Plus Bytes using hashtag MIO Knowledge Hub Podcast.
Money, more than 80,000 CDs per month. That's how much you can earn by investing just 2,800 CDs. Yes, it's real, and it's already happening all across Ghana. Every day, this financial platform is breaking records. Over 3,000 new users daily.
Yo, did you catch that? That was 100% AI-generated video. Scary, right? Welcome to the era where seeing is no longer believing. But how do we survive in such an era? With me are two experts on the front lines fighting disinformation. On my extreme left is Evans Aziamo. Evans is a data journalist with Code for Africa who investigates disinformation and influence operations across Africa. I also have to my immediate left Gifty Tracy Aminu, a fact checker and sub-editor with Factspace West Africa, who is constantly debunking false claims. Lady and gentlemen, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Right. What do you make of our topic? Is AI rewriting reality?
Well, I think partly AI has distorted the information ecosystem. And I think that the speed at which this has been done is quite scary. And that if there's no effort to chase it with the information literacy needed, a lot more harm will be done to our society and our information ecosystem.
A lot more harm will be done to our society and our information system. What of you, Tracy? Is AI really rewriting reality?
I think before now, people rely on journalists, media houses to access information. But for some years, with the speed of the internet and then the evolution of AI, people get to get more information on the internet as opposed to from the journalist. And so at the end of the day, people do not have the time or the liberty to know what kind of information they are consuming. Mm-hmm. And so they consume any kind of information they find on the internet and go with it or act on it before even getting to realize that information is false. Or it doesn't even exist at all. So AI is actually changing. For instance, if you take your Google and search for something, you wanted to search for something, the first information that appears is mostly an overview from AI.
Okay.
From Google AI. And so before you get to see the research and other works from the human beings themselves. And so I think AI is doing a lot. That is changing our information system.
Well, AI is doing a lot, changing our information system, but we are going to dive deeper.
Okay. I'll give an example. So on my way coming here, there was this news that this popular, in quotes, woman of God was arrested. And so when I saw the information, I saw just one media house share the information. So I'm like, okay, if it's something that is so big, why is it taking other media houses so long to bring out the same story or publish the same story? So I held on, and then I was still scrolling through social media, and I keep seeing this particular media house sharing the same information. I saw people commenting, I saw people falling for it. It's not fake, but for me, I was suspicious of it because why is it only this media house publishing this story?
Okay.
That is my first instinct.
Okay.
So if it is a big story, it should be big enough that other big media houses should carry it along. So this is one of the basic things. If you see a news item, how many media houses have published it? Mm. How big? We are not saying that the media houses or the media platform always get it right. The time that they carry big news, all of them carry the news at once and it comes out to be false.
Mm-hmm.
But you should wait, like my colleague said, you should wait, verify before you share, not just seeing it and then sharing it immediately.
Right. You have to verify before you share.
Mm.
So in Ghana, what would you say are the most common types of disinformation or AI-powered disinformation?
I think there are identity deepfakes, and then there are also context-driven deepfakes. All right. And so the identity ones, for instance, I'll mention one. I'm pretty sure Tracy also mentioned some of this that I mean, she's familiar with. So I recall in the lead up to the election 2024, the now president, there was a deepfake creation of a video where he was supposedly downplaying the intelligence of the Ghanaian voter and also trying to negotiate a way so that the EC could declare him as the winner of the election to bribe them out and all that. And that was a deepfake, largely also because one of the things that AI has not been able to do so smoothly yet is the synchronization.
Yeah.
You realize that the body movement parts, the lip sync and all of these.
Yeah.
It hasn't gotten there so perfect yet. I mean, they are still trying. They are every day they try to build upon it, but it's not there yet. You know, so apart from using the your knowledge of these AI-generated content and how it can be weaponized to identify these, using technology to also identify it has also become a bit more important. And so this one, for instance, is one of the ways that identity fakes was deployed. And then I remember there was a point where in 2024, you guys all remember that Ablekuma Nuff, the MEP parliamentary candidate, Nanekia.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I think a day before they had their primaries, there was a AI-generated video that was generated of a story where she was jailed in China. You know, at the time she was a Chinese ambassador.
Ghana's ambassador
to China, deputy one.
No, I think she was accused.
She was accused, of corruption.
Yes.
Also.
Taking bribe from Chinese and bringing them.
So I quickly want you to walk us through if someone chances on a deep fake video.
Yeah.
How can the person tell that this one has been manipulated?
Mm. Okay, so first off, without using technology, I think one of the ways we can help to identify AI videos is information literacy without using technology.
Okay.
I think it's the best arsenal that anybody could have, just having able to, you know, to decipher fake information or fake false news from a news that is verified. And so when you get the information, for instance, you sort through to see whether indeed this is even a correct information.
Yeah.
Apart from that, you also look for alternative websites or media organizations that have probably published a story about this supposed incident that have occurred. And then, if possible, you can also run it by people that are within the information space and could, you know, give you leads as to whether indeed this information is accurate or not. those are the things you look at, I mean, without using technology.
Okay.
Because in our population, not many people are able to use technology or AI to technology to be able to verify information.
Yeah.
So the best arm of tools that we could have is being able to be educated when it comes to media and information literacy.
Okay.
To know, okay, this information, is it really true? I mean, what is missing within these news reports that could prompt me to know, no, this is not accurate? I mean, okay, then let me check other sources to see whether this information has been published elsewhere. And are these websites even credible enough to carry out their story? I mean, if you're able to ask some of these questions, they might help.
Okay.
So you first have to stop, you don't share, then you verify. And then when you verify, before you even share.
Okay.
All right.
You stop, and you verify, you stop before you share.
Before you share.
Trey, I want you to quickly walk us through using one common fact-checking tool that we've been talking about, the reverse image search.
Okay. With the reverse image search, we have a lot, but as common as Google is with us, I'll quickly use Google.
Okay.
We use Google Lens, and for your phone, you can't function on your phone as you function on the laptop. So if you are scrolling through social media on your phone and you find a picture that you suspected could be, you find suspicious, what you do is to quickly download the image onto your phone. And then when you go onto Google, or when you open your Google browser, you would see a camera-like object on closer to the microphone. Let me say it that way. Let me describe it. Closer to the microphone in the search button of Google. And so that is the Google Lens. And once you click it, it asks you to upload a photo. And so the photo you are suspicious of, you could quickly click it from your device, upload it onto Google. And Google is going to give you a history of that photo if only it has existed on the internet.
Okay.
It's going to give you similar images. It's going to give you the opportunity to find exact images. And so once you get the exact images, your work right now to find out whether the picture is new, is authentic, and it fits the context which it has been used to describe, is to search for the first time it has appeared on the internet. And so that is how you quickly use your phone to verify an image you are suspicious of. And if you are scrolling on your laptop or your desktop, any of the tops, and you find these images, you quickly right-click on that image. It gives you a drop-down menu, and then you would find Google Lens, and you would find other reverse image searches like Bing, Yandex, TinEye. So you could use any of them, you could click any of them, and it's going to give you the same thing that it gives you when you use the Google Lens. Similar images, okay. Exact matches, and then you'll find when it first appeared on the internet, and then you are good to go.
Yeah, thank you so much. Can you rehash on the tools?
So we have Google Lens.
Google Lens.
We have TinEye.
TinEye.
We have Bing.
Bing.
We have Yandex.
Yandex. So in the run-up to the elections, and even during the elections itself, there were a lot of people using AI to combat disinformation. I mean, there are people who built platforms. Spend Plus Byte, for instance, we had our disinformation detection platform where we were using to combat disinformation in real time. I don't know if from your end also you've developed a tool or you have a fair idea of any AI-built platform that is helping to combat disinformation that you can speak about.
Okay, so there was a platform that we also used.
Okay.
What it does was that it helps to assemble the claims.
Okay. Online. Do you care to share?
It serves as a, I can't quite remember the name now. It serves as a trawler on the internet. And it goes around to assemble claims from the various media. So normally you put in the names of the media houses you want to monitor.
Okay.
So you put the names there, and then some keywords that you want to fact check. All right. And then when you do that, the trawler, as it is, moves around to collate this information.
Like it crawls.
Yeah, it crawls.
Okay.
It crawls. So it assembles it for us, and then you look through the claims from there. So it makes our work easier. Because previously, what we're doing was manual search. And I have to now type and say, okay, go to certain websites and all that. But that tool, for instance, that we use was very helpful in a way that it puts together the information for us to now think through to see whether it is indeed fact-checkable or not. And so that made the work easier and simpler and also very urgent for us to attend to. You know, so that's one tool I can't quite remember now that we used. Well, I mean, it was expensive, so I mean, it was just given to us together with the Fact Checking Coalition.
Mm.
So when we were done with the Fact Checking Coalition, yeah, it was disabled.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if our listeners can take one action after this episode, what should it be?
Okay, I would say before you share anything at all on the internet, before you share anything with your family, friends, pause and ask yourself, is this true? Because I find it very embarrassing to share something with someone and then later know that it's not true.
Yeah.
I think it happened to me during COVID. At the time, I was not a fact checker.
Okay.
I was doing normal journalism. And then I found this picture of people washing nose masks and reselling. So I shared it. I shared it somewhere. And then someone was like, oh, I thought you as a journalist would rather
Interesting.
So it was embarrassing. And that was my last time I've ever forwarded something to someone on WhatsApp. And so before you share, pause and ask yourself, is this true? Is this likely to be false? And then verify. Verify first. It's very important to verify first because you don't know who you are going to put in danger. You don't know what you are sharing could lead to. It could lead to chaos. People may die.
Yeah.
It could prevent someone from getting maybe salvation. And so before you share something on the internet, pause. Verify before you share.
Before you share something on the internet, make sure to pause. Verify before you share. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, pay attention to your environment, what the repercussions of your activity could lead to. Evans, same question. What is that one action listeners can take after this episode?
I think I'll just emphasize Tracy's point that you need to pause, all right? Reflect on
I want
on
you
it
to
first.
Share different things because she shared that I rehashed it. So I want you to share.
Yeah, of course I'm gonna do that. And that was what I talk about the acronym of SPLIT, where I mentioned that when you stop, I mean like or pause as
you are going back to the same thing.
No, so it's
pick something on AI.
The first thing you do will not be AI. AI seems more
advanced.
Okay. The first thing is to pause. And to question whatever information you have,
all
right? You should be a bit more critical, not just trying to share information that comes to you, but want to question the information that you have, which is whether it is indeed true, or if it's indeed true, which other information sources are carrying the same information that I'm consuming now. And by running it with others, it helps you to know whether indeed this information is true. And then maybe, if you know people, if you're privileged enough to know people who work in newsrooms or like fact checkers, you can run it by them. Because the danger of sharing information that's unfiltered is that it has so many repercussions, even for businesses, for health, for emergency-wise and all that. It could create a lot of chaos in our society, you know. And we know that now mis- and disinformation is an enterprise that people are indulging to make money. And so we don't want to fuel that particular thing that they are engaged in. So the best is for you to be able to question every information you have, then, you know, run your checks. And if you think that at that point in time, it's more sophisticated than you think. We're run by people who are well, run by people who are well versed in the subject of mis- and disinformation to be able to fact check, so it can help save our own society from the impending danger that AI has for us. Even though, of course, AI is good, it makes our work easier and all that. It's downside as well, yeah. Which is the speed at which it shares information and how it's made information now more user generated than it was. Now there's now a down stop approach,
yeah,
of creating information. So I can sit in my room and create content and share online, you know, and unlike in the past where now the people who were trained were the ones creating information. Now everybody has iPhones or phones in their hands to create content and share it all around. And AI with the assistance of bots and hashtags and all that who help to spread the information. So you need to be a bit more cautious in trying to share the information we have and trying to verify them. Yeah.
Okay, so we need to
so
be
verification is important.
Okay.
Verify.
Yeah. Make sure you are always verifying and also pay attention to your environment and ask yourself what you are sharing. If it's not true, yeah, what can cause? What would be the impact of that on society and yeah, all of that? Thank you so much, guys, for your time. All right, that's a wrap for today's episode. Big love to DW Academy and the German Corporation for their continuous support. You can continue the conversation with us on hashtag MIONKnowledgeHub on any of Pen Plus Bytes social media handles. As always, I am Manuel. See you on the other side.